the fact that this sport, which I love so much, is very difficult to enter. If you're a driver, it's very expensive. If you're a fan, it's very hard to understand what's going on. It's not a simple sport. Like, it's either you are a pro, a motorhead, as you called it, that you know the drivers, you know their history, you know who's going to win, you know who's best, you know why he's winning or why they're losing. Or you can make the race much more easier to understand and to digest to the masses, and then you make the sport more accessible. So that's the problem we are addressing. And again, the solution is to automate the entire data analysis process.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. This is Roan bringing back our themed approach to our podcast. And we did this in the first quarter of the year. We had a month talking to fan-based startups, fan experience-based startups, a month talking to sports tech investors, a month focused on sports tech in the Middle East. And now we're bringing back our themes with, of course, arguably one of the hottest topics in sports technology or just in the tech world in general. It's all about AI. We're talking to various solutions that deploy AI in sports in interesting ways. And I have to say, I'm actually quite intrigued by the guest that we've got on today, because it's not a sport or an area of sports that we talk about very often, motorsports. And I do talk about it. I have got Tamir Placinski, CEO of Grip, on the show. Welcome to the show, Tamir.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Fantastic to have you. So Grip is a platform that, I mean, I'll let Tamir tell you all about it. They use AI to make sports more engaging for fans, such as me, who is a mega, I won't say motorhead, but a gearhead, but just a big fan of Formula One especially, and other motorsports as well. But they have an insights platform that provides fans with different forms of engagement with their favorite motorsport. But enough from me. I will let Tamir tell you all about it. But before we get to the actual solution, I want to know more about Tamir himself. Tamir, tell us about your journey. What brought you to setting up this very interesting company?
Where to begin? So I started since I was a young kid, I always loved motorsport and was really passionate about it. Growing up in Israel was not the best place to have this passion, because we don't have that industry locally. So we always try to catch what we could on TV and always wanted to be part of that industry. Dreamt to become a champion, like driving a bike or a car. But I understood when I was about 22 that probably it's too late for me, because you need to start young. So I switched my concept into not becoming a world champion from the driver's seat, but from the engineering seat, and went to study mechanical engineering in one of the universities here in Israel, which was the place where I first combined my passion for speed and adrenaline and engineering and competitiveness and everything. I started a Formula student team in Israel. It's a group of students that build race cars and compete against each other. And then worked in Italy for a race car manufacturer. And when I came back to Israel, I was about 32 years old. I started Grip out of a very big first passion and also frustration. And about the fact that this sport, which I love so much, is very difficult to enter. If you're a driver, it's very expensive. If you're a fan, it's very hard to understand what's going on. It's not a simple sport. I'm not saying that football or basketball are simple sports, but it's more easier to understand what's going on just by watching the broadcast. And it's easy. You see the ball, you see the players, you understand what's going on. Racing, it's more complicated. And I wanted to bridge that gap. And that's what led me to the foundation of Grip, which started as a race car manufacturer. And you can see on the wall here behind me, we started by building cars, launched a racing series in North Italy. And on that series, we started to develop our data solution. So our series was like a sandbox for us to develop a data tool to bridge that gap between the event, the race, to the people that consume it, if it's the drivers or fans or whatever. During COVID in 2020, we had to stop all the cars activities. There was huge uncertainty back then. You couldn't tell when activities will return. We couldn't stay continue paying salaries for a big team of engineers and technicians without any kind of activities. So we did a pivot in the company from race cars, which we are not doing anymore, to that data platform that we developed for us first as a customer, and now to serve what we hope soon will be the entire market.
All right, so that's interesting. So you came from a cars manufacturer, as you said, a works team, and developed a solution for yourself, which you then realized that maybe there is other teams that would be interested in the solution. Before we get to Grip, and I especially, of course, want to know about why there are three eyes in Grip, I want to quickly ask about the car behind you. So was that the car that you, like it was your team car that used to drive, that used to go on track?
This is our first prototype ever built.
Wow.
Here in Israel, tested in Italy, and we brought it back to Israel and put it on the wall as a as a statue.
Of course, it looks incredibly cool. I've never sat in a proper single seat. I mean, not carts, carts don't count, but a proper single seater racer, and I would love to. I feel like maybe I should visit a factory at some point.
You should have one. It's a very nice experience.
I can imagine that low and you're all in there. Anyway, but let's now get to Grip. Okay, so you develop a data and insights platform for yourselves, which you then decided maybe there's an outside market for it. What exactly is the problem that you identified that you then solved? And who do you do it for?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, and I will elaborate on that, motorsport is different. You have sport tech as an overall industry, let's say, combined of many kind of sports. Motorsport, you cannot compare that to anything. It's different in so many ways. You have not only the athletes, but also the vehicles, if it's bikes or cars or whatever. You have a very big playing field. It's not that you can sit on the seat at the grandstand and see the entire field. Or even from home, you need a lot of, like the action is happening in a very big area. It's happening very fast. You know that sometimes when you watch a person move, the eye is fast enough to catch everything that happens. But when you see a vehicle running at 300 kilometers per hour and things happen, it's not always easy to spot them. So it's hard. And you have a lot of vehicles. So if I compare that to football, for example, you have a game with 20, 30, 40 balls, and they're all moving all the time. And now you can try and understand what's going on. So we had a need in our series to reach more fan base. As I told you, we had our own series to make the content that we wanted to distribute more interesting, because it's a sport. It's all based on fans. We wanted to have more fans that will attract more sponsors, will attract more drivers. It's like an up spiral when you have a lot of fans. And for us as a small series, we didn't have this kind of solution. And what I explained previously is that it's not something you have currently in the industry. You cannot even place a person to log events into some system, and then you can provide statistics or something that will explain what's going on to the fans. It's very, very complicated. And we understood that, and we had our own series. We wanted to use some solution for to allow us to make our series more engaging to the fans. There, we understood there is no solution. So we went out and started to develop one for ourselves. At the beginning, it was not very clear that we're going to use this solution for the, we can offer this solution for the entire industry. During COVID, we did this shift. So now this is what we're doing. And this is the problem we are addressing. You watch a race, you have, like, it's either you are a pro, a motorhead, as you called it, that you know the drivers, you know their history, you know who's going to win, you know who's best, you know why he's winning or why they're losing. And that's a very small fraction of the overall audience. Or you can make the race much more easier to understand and to digest to the masses, and then you make the sport more accessible. So that's the problem we are addressing. And again, the solution is to automate the entire data analysis process. So we collect data from every data source that provides data to this kind of event. We analyze that data and extract insights. So, and again, you can always compare this to other sports. When you have someone shooting a basket in basketball, that's an event. He scored a basket. He made a foul. He did, he lost the ball, whatever. You have those list of events. In motorsport, we create the same thing for a race. When an overtake happened, if a driver made an error, best lap, best pit stop, a lot of things that happened throughout the race, and use that to intensify, to improve the experience of all users.
And who are the client for this? Is it the broadcaster, or are you selling even to the teams directly?
When you say teams, so the market is built again as other markets with, like there are the organizations, the FIA in our case, which is the governing body, or governing bodies on each country. You have series that are the production, let's say that
which is Formula 1, Formula 2, Formula 3,
For example,
Formula 4, Formula Renault,
And then you have the teams in the championship, right, in the series. So we are first addressing the series, the league, and provide them, like offer them our system. It's a cloud-based SaaS platform. So it's a pretty much a SaaS model. They pay subscription for a year to use whatever products from our line of products they want to use. And through them, they use that. Either internally or with their fans. So it's a B2B model. Our customers are series that pay for the service.
So they can use it internally. So as in, they don't have to use it for fan engagement. They can use it just for, let's say, data sharing with all the teams in case they don't have an analytics solution. So it's they can use it both ways. That's what you're saying?
It's less... Right now, our data analysis capabilities are addressed for the fans. So it's less about giving data to the teams. But a series, for example, a use case is that you have a series that have a race broadcast somewhere, and they see our analytics while the broadcast is running. And the broadcaster, the commentator on the broadcast, see the event we are identifying and talks about that.
Right.
They see a post-event list of events and create social posts based on our insights. They use, for example, we have an app, which is like a second screen, personalized per user app that you can use while you see the race, and you get all the data like in the palm of your hand. So that's like a more on a B2B2C model that they give that to their fans. So yeah, the applications of those insights it's really limitless, I can say. It's
So who are you working with already? What racing series do you already call clients?
Yeah, so we developed this kind of solution on our series, we were like a customer, potential customer that needed a solution. So we had a good sense that Series will want to use that because, again, we looked and there are no similar solutions. And we are happy to say that very fast we understood that we were right. So right now we are working with some of the biggest names in the industry, Formula E, and the electric racing series.
Yep.
With the World Endurance Championship, WEC, if you know, SRO, Formula 4 in Spain. Like, we are expanding, but for this year, I think just mentioning Formula E, WEC, and SRO as customers, it's a huge achievement. And yeah, only the beginning.
So, sorry, you said WEC as in World Rally Championship? Is that what you meant?
No, WEC is WEC, the World Endurance Championship.
Endurance Championship, sorry, my bad. But yeah, still amazing names that you've managed to get in clearly a short span of time. How long has GRIP been around?
If you look at since the beginning, we were established in 2016 with this. And we ran a series in Italy in 2018 and 19. COVID struck in 2020, so that's when we did the pivot. In 21 and 22, we worked with DTM. Oh, DTM, by the way, is another customer which I forgot to mention. It's the leading German touring car GT racing series. Really, really big series that we are also working with them. We worked with them in 21 and 22. Also, Porsche invested in GRIP in the end of 21. So we got a lot of recognition from the industry very fast. And so you can say we were established almost like 7 years ago.
Wow, incredible. And you've done so much in that in a pretty quick span of time. I think for me personally, and I want to talk about this for a second, is the level of interest, of course, in motorsports in general has been ramping up as Formula One gets accepted as a truly global sport. It always has been a big, big sport globally, but now it just seems to have found newer audiences, and we don't have to talk about Drive to Survive. What I'll instead talk about is one of the things that, at least I, as a Formula One fan, since let's say my first season of really watching Formula One was 96 when Damon Hill won. So I'm showing my age also a little bit here. But more importantly, coming into the early 2000s when everybody was bored of Michael Schumacher winning every year, to then the Red Bull era and the Mercedes era. And Formula One, I think, apart from what Liberty Media did to grow the sport with behind-the-scenes footage, but the during the race, during the live race, there is so much more engagement that they have brought in. I believe the partnership is with AWS that they set up a few years ago. But whether it's the probability of a pit stop or pit stop windows, or they'll show you different types of tire wear or tire deg on different cars. The dynamic gaps of when a driver goes into the pit, when there's somebody following, like how close they are. Like there's so much interaction on the graphics that is now being shown to us as a viewer, not to mention all the radio communication, which is probably the best part. Like that's always amazing. But it's so great to see that they've made the sport more engaging by just bringing up to life a lot of the data that the teams already have, because obviously motorsport, there is so much data. So great to see a solution like yours taking this to, outside of the premier competition, which is Formula One, but taking it to also all the bigger competitions, like you said, DTM, Formula E, and all the others as well. What would you say has been... So first of all, congratulations to you and your team, which is why I wanted to bring you guys on and talk about motorsport. Quickly, before I move on, I asked this earlier, why three I's in your name? Like, what's that story?
It's a very guarded, heavily guarded secret.
Oh, okay.
Which I cannot disclose. I'm sorry. We looked for a name for a while back then when we started the company. It was a really... a process that you would really like to finish already and just go to work, but you need to find a name. And a name is very important. So eventually we came up with the idea to stretch one of the names. We had several possibilities to names. We like the way GRIP is being like extended with the three I. Actually, we started with two I's, but the URL, the website, was taken.
Okay.
So we hope Three Eyes were not, was not, and happily it wasn't. So we stick with that.
No, I like it. It also looks like a bit of a straight, like when you look at the logo, like you're coming down the straight and then you're taking maybe a turn. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much now.
Actually, yeah, a lot of people see different things in that. And yeah, it's a nice, nice part.
Stay up to date with all things sports tech and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a monthly breakdown of the most important developments in the global sports tech ecosystem, paired with exclusive interviews with industry leaders. Get all of this and more delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up today at sportstechx.com.
Let's talk about one, maybe something that doesn't get talked about a lot. Like, we don't see a lot of motorsports related startups. It is a challenge because the industry is so, it's so unique that it's so top heavy, and then there's not a lot happening, and also so expensive to get into. You spoke about that earlier. What have been the biggest challenges for you in setting up the business and finding your market?
So I already explained how we got to develop this kind of data platform. But then you come to the challenge, and when we asked ourselves, okay, how come no one else developed this platform? I think now we know more about why not, because it's very difficult. Again, I will make the comparison to football. All the football courts are the same. All the rules are the same globally. You can have one camera, pretty much you can see everything. It's easier. In motorsport, the tracks are different, the vehicles are different. Every series have its own sets of rules.
Yeah.
It's so fragmented, it's unbelievable. So imagine that our system needs to know everything on every series to be able to analyze the data properly. So it's super challenging. And again, it's not only that, you need to get the data in real time. From different sources, not all those data sources know how to communicate the data to other databases. For example, this industry it's a bit ironic when you think about it, because when you look at other sports, they are really fighting to extract more data to talk about, to show more statistics. And in motorsport, you don't have that problem. You have as much data as you would can dream of. So many sensors on the cars that reads everything, position, speed, driver command, everything you know. But then, now none of that is being used to elevate the experience. It's all left on the track, you can say, and none being shared. And that's a challenge also. So you need to understand how you can take the data and distribute it without... messing up with the competition, like not disclosing any kind of secret of a certain driver on how he wins. Or so the industry is not really open for data sharing. And it's logical, because motorsport is a very engineering sport, and they used to keep all the data for themselves. And now I think motorsport understands, and Formula One leads that in a way, that if they want to expand to new audiences and expand and attract new audiences, but to conserve them, to maintain them, they need to do a better job in the way they tell the story, the storytelling of a racing of a race, and that's not being done well in motorsport these days. And this is what we are addressing. And for that, again, we need to thank Formula One. Drive to Survive brought this sport to many, many people that until today were not really focused about on motorsport. But then they go to see a race, and they understand the experience is not that. Again, they don't understand what's going on, and we need to use the data that is being generated to get them hooked to the sport. And that's what we're doing.
That's super powerful. A couple of things that you talked about. I mean, obviously, what Drive to Survive has done to as you said, not just reach new audiences, but bring audiences back. I would definitely count myself as one of those people, like who goes in and out of love with Formula One. When it's exciting at the front end of the grid, then you feel like you're more invested. But now it doesn't matter if Max Verstappen is winning every race because you're invested across the grid and you want to follow your driver every week or every 2 weeks, whatever it is. All right, let's talk about what's coming up for you guys. Bright future ahead. You said you've raised some money recently from Porsche. What's the outlook like for the next 12, 18 months?
Yeah, so we can divide our progress until now and into the next month roughly into two stages. Until now, it was a lot of work was invested on creating the infrastructure, the platform that will know, be able to collect data from different data sources, digest that, and you need to sort it, you need to standardize the data, and you need to make it, prepare it for analysis. So it's not an easy process, this kind of first stage. Then to build a database that you can analyze the data in and push those insights to whoever wants them. If it's, as I mentioned, the series that needs that, if it's to the digital assets that the series have, for example, Formula E have their own app, have their own graphics on TV, they do that. So how our insights can be integrated in those assets that they already have. Or if you look for a series like DTM, they don't have an app, for example, or they want to use our app. So we provide them with a front-end interface that they can use. So this was mainly to create this kind of ability to stream data end-to-end. And in the next month, now we completed that. In the next month, it's all about adding more, let's call it features, more insights to make it even more exciting. So in our app from about next week, we're going to add a layer of what we call emotional reactions. So again, I told you that we identify events and we are pretty much the only one that do that in motorsport. And you as a fan, as a viewer, can say, okay, this is, I'm happy that driver overtook that driver. And you, it's like the like button in Facebook. So you have an icon that you put, that you press. And then we start to, next step, it will be even commenting or group watching and polls and questions and get you really immersed in the events.
More solutions to get, as you said, the fan more involved. We've already seen, I mean, of course, Formula E famously has the fan boost. So they actually try to convert fandom into an on-track benefit.
They stopped that.
Sorry?
They stopped that this year.
I was going to say, I was never the biggest fan, and I'm kind of glad that went away. But there are other ways that you can get the fan involved in watching the sport, for sure. All right, Pradavir, fantastic. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. I'm going to go into my last question, which is always my favorite question to ask. I always believe that we are sports fans first. So what has been your favorite sporting moment? And we don't get too many motorsports moments on this show because it's usually from football or whatever else. But I hope that yours will be a motorsports one. I expect it will be.
I like sports in general, mostly outside of motorsport. I watch basketball. Mm-hmm. I think that like it's a good place. Like it's a sport that a lot of things are happening rapidly. Like you have every time you have like someone is shooting a basket or something. So there is a good dynamic to that. And what I really appreciate in sports, basketball or motorsport or any other sport, is just to see that in the high levels how tennis is also I really like, is the mentality aspect of the athletes. So what impresses me mostly is that you see the biggest athletes rise up to the biggest challenges on the biggest stages. And then it's like a very, like, I'm in awe on how they manage to deal with such pressure and not only, let's say, maintain the level of performance, but even increase that. And that's what really separates those. And then you can relate that to different events. If it's on basketball, me personally, I'm more into the EuroLeague championship in Europe, mm-hmm. or to different races. But that was a long answer to say that for me, the biggest the biggest sporting moment in motorsport is when Valentino Rossi won his first championship with Yamaha after he left Honda. If you remember the story that was there, the Honda like said in a way that he won the championships in Honda because of the bike. And for me, it was like a statement of the biggest, probably the biggest of them all ever, that says, I will go to that team and show you why you won. And he won. So you cannot get any better than that.
The doctor is in the house. Yeah, I mean, incredible. I mean, that Repsol Honda bike was an incredible bike for so many years. I think it still is. I haven't been following MotoGP in the last maybe few years, but yeah, when Valentino
Rossi... But he wanted to say that it wasn't an incredible bike because he developed it.
Right.
And now when he switched, yeah, he won. So
he won.
That's the essence, one of the, you know, it really is the essence of sport, how you can always set higher goals and achieve them and always pushing forward. So for me, that was the biggest. Until today.
And there haven't been too many superstars of MotoGP. Like when I say superstars, I mean an athlete who breaks beyond their sport and brings in names of people from other interests can at least recognize that name. And Valentino Rossi is probably the name in MotoGP that everybody would name. So fantastic, good way to sign things off and bring it into the pit lane. Thanks so much for joining us, Tamir, and best of luck with all the things at GRIP.
Yeah, thanks so much. It was a pleasure, and make sure you watch the next race with our app.
I will. I'll make sure to check it out. In fact, I have to find out what race I can watch through you guys, but we'll take that conversation right now. In the meantime, guys, that is a wrap for this episode. Stay tuned to our series of AI and sports startups. We have a really stellar lineup of very interesting companies and founders that I'll be speaking to. Solutions from tennis, actually, what Tamir talked about. We have solutions from a bunch of other sports, all scheduled to come to you over the next few weeks in the month of June. See you guys then.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.